539. House Bill 903 is introduced by this committee at my request after some conversations with people that are interested and involved with the field. Most of these people were senior citizens, of course. And at one point or another, it was pointed out to me that there is no statutory reference to any office or agency dealing with the aging. And at the present time, the Office of the Aging is located within the Department of Health and Social Services. And I'll have to admit that I'm not all that familiar with all of its functions, and that's why one of the reasons why I went ahead and introduced the bill. And right now, I'd hope that we have a couple of representatives here from the Department of Health and Social Services, and I'll ask them to come out now, Mr. Fear and Mr. Plotnick, if they would. No, you don't have to if you don't want to. You don't have to be shy. Maybe you could just give us a brief description of the history of the Office of the Aging, its powers and duties, and perhaps give us an idea where we might right now be able to, you know, see these powers and duties written down. Just a general description of the powers and duties of the Office of the Aging and where your funding comes from. And
Mr. Chairman, the Office of Aging was originally established in the state around 1968 or 69. And incidentally, the first coordinator was a Glenn Wilcox, who was also the first coordinator for alcoholism. That person wore both hats. Since that time, there have been several coordinators. The last, probably my predecessor, was one Hank or Henry Harmon, still living here in Juneau. Very briefly, all the grants amounting to approximately $1.9 million is totally federally funded. The federal statute is the Older Americans Act of 1965 and amended as recently as this last year. The state kicks in approximately $60,000+ for administrative match. But all of the grants is 100% federally funded. And to my knowledge, there has not been, nor is there any reference authorities in Alaskan statutes of the sanctioning of a facility for aging in the state government. The only reason for its existence, really, other than the federal monies, is the approval or disapproval of the annualized budget as submitted by the governor. Its authority and responsibility, again, is primarily federal. There is no state authority, in fact, to have an office specifically for aging persons. Now, every state does, in fact, have one. Most of the states have them directly under the office of the governor. The responsibilities are primarily to advocate for any and all things pertaining to the elderly. And that's pretty broad. The elderly, again, being defined in federal law as 60 years and over. This basically, Mr. Chairman, is the to reduce it, and the federal law is very long and involved, and the state has to submit an annualized plan to meet the priorities as established by the federal government in order to receive this money, which is allocated on a formula grant for the 50 states.
Can I just interrupt you here? And,
sure, sir.
Maybe you would, just for the edification here, the committee described it. You know, the Office of the Aging, like you said, there's only $60,000 in state funds that are provided for administration. Now, does that mean that's the total administration budget?
No, sir. The state matches the federal amount. It's on a 75-25 basis. Yesterday, we were receiving $160,000 from the federal government for administration. We have to match that 75-25, 75% being the 160,000, the state coming up with 25% of that. Okay, next week, that 160 is going up to 200,000.
That's federal money?
Federal money, yes, sir.
When you say 75-25 match.
Yes, sir.
Do you take that, like the total figure then? Right now it's 220, is that right?
It's actually, and the feds establish a difficult formula for 75-25. It's the total amount. It isn't when it was 70. Previously, the state received 75,000 from the federal government, and the state matched it with 25,000.
Okay,
that
so
made
now,
it easy. Yeah. But the formula grant now is such that the 160,000 represents 75% of a total amount. And the total amount the state has to kick in, it's exactly 53,000.666.
That's the state's contribution. That isn't 25% then, but that's like if it was a. We shouldn't quibble over these little figures over there. That's not very important. You can let's see.
But that's a separate allotment, the administration, and that's Title One. Title Three is the grants and aid, and Title Seven is the nutrition component. In other words, the meals program. Seven. That's the commonly referred to as the Meals on Wheels.
How many people work in the,
presently, there are 10 persons in the office, of which there are 3 associate coordinators and 3 on the accounting staff. And there's one person who has been on contract who's now temporary, which is a nursing home development specialist, a person who's going into our nursing homes and the Pioneer homes to see to it that the guests there are treated properly. And this is, again, these are all federally funded programs. And the reason for that was, of course, that there have been many abuses outside on nursing in the nursing home field. And these are proprietary nursing homes as well as the state's.
You know, there's at least a few programs within the Department of Community and Regional Affairs that direct their efforts toward senior citizens, exclusively. And I just wonder what sort of coordination, if any, or interaction you have between that department with those programs.
If I may respond, we've had excellent relations. The office has, particularly with Mr. Dozier, the state tax assessor, on administering the tax exemption programs. This has been the primary program. Just this last year, we sent out about 10,000 letters from our office to persons living primarily in the bush who would not have been made available or aware of the fact that they, in fact, were eligible for this tax exemption.
And your office sent that out?
Yes, and working with Community and Regional Affairs. We also touch base with Director Lee's office in Community Services and seeing what some of our, both of us have similar grantees, or we have had. The Older Persons Action Group in Anchorage, for example, which has received funds from us and I think has received funds from them. I'm not certain on that. And we touch base with each other on the same grantees.
Catherine, do you have a question?
Yeah, I have a question about that nursing home. Would you call it a nursing
home specialist? The feds use the word ombudsman, and I shy away from that word. but it's a nursing home development specialist. Yes, ma'am.
Does that person travel around, you mean, and visit the various nursing homes of all who said proprietary and state? And does that person also get involved at all with the boarding homes in the ones that are outside of the state that are proprietary, the boarding homes in Anchorage, for example? Do they ever visit there?
To date, no. To date, that person has been to the only one facility that he's visited, which is not exclusively a nursing home per se or a Pioneer home, is the facility in Palmer, the one operated by the Salvation Army.
The reason I ask that, is there any interest expressed by anyone in your staff or among your people in that boarding home problem that's existing?
If I may respond, and actually the question is well taken, because and the answer is no. And the reason being, the whole purpose of the Office on the Aging is primarily concerned with keeping the elderly person preferably in their home environment and not in any kind of boarding facility. This has been the whole thrust of the Older Americans Act, which I think generally everyone would agree to at that point in time, because that still consists of 98% of all the people.
Well, just to follow that, I suspect the people in those boarding homes would be referred to the home too. They do exist, and they are there, and it seems like it's a situation that requires some reporting too. As a matter of fact, there's a bill coming through with the House and the Senate regarding more regulations of those homes, because they do touch on a lot of senior citizens who are somehow fall into that trap or whatever.
Cracks. Yes. Again, our primary emphasis has been on the elderly person who is mobile and able to participate in the meals program and take trips, and we have not been directed to deal with the incapacitated person. That's why we have nothing to do with Pioneer Homes, for example. It's an institution.
Well, in fact, those people aren't necessarily incapacitated.
Okay.
I just wondered if you know about the awareness of your office about that particular problem, where there's a warehousing situation going on, and you know it's been nationally focused on, and even in the state there's been some expose about that. So I assume that your office, I'm sure, is aware of it, and that perhaps don't feel they have any control.
We have absolutely no authority for any of that. In fact, Deputy Commissioner Jun has surfaced a comment which I think is very valid, and that is, we perhaps have a more serious problem in the non-certificated boarding homes around the state, of which most of us are familiar with the old Parsons Hotel and the old Bergman facility here in South Franklin, and where have you, where there is no licensing, there's no nothing, and this is the rough situation, and I would submit that I don't think anyone is really doing any outreach there, except perhaps the Salvation Army, personally. And these are the tragic. This is the tragic situation. But I don't think we're addressing ourselves to that in the state, to my knowledge, at this present time.
Yeah. You brought it up on the Pioneers. Now, is this going to in any way try to absorb the Pioneers organization? But how about in the future? Is this just to start on it?
No, sir. If I respond through the chair, there's no taking away or going into the operation of the Pioneers' homes. Yes, it will deal with Pioneers, anyone who's 60 and over and has lived here 60 years. I, for example, am a member of the Pioneers, but I'm not in the Pioneers' home.
I'm talking about the Pioneers organization also, as such, as senior citizens. They are senior citizens also, and of course they do have the kind of control of the Pioneers' homes, if you will, with that. But then see this kind of moving in on them.
No,
it certainly wasn't my intention. I've always the reactions and so forth that I've got picked up from people that are involved with that group or organization is that they're kind of considered to be some sort of a sacred sacred entity that shouldn't be infringed upon. And I, that wasn't my intention. Really.
Representative Ose, I may say that the former governor, Wayno Hendrickson, who has been grand head of the Pioneers for years, is the vice chairman person of the governor's advisory committee. And he has been and is very active in the Pioneers' homes. He hasn't seen the bill, I'm sure, but yeah, I feel reasonably certain that he would concur with this, that there is no intrusion on this concept and the Pioneers' home. That's or the Pioneers, for example. Because the Pioneers will let anyone virtually in. David Freer can become a member when he's 30 years old, I think, if he's 30.
That's 30. Okay.
Well, that's the requirement that,
Well, a 30-year-old native-born Alaskan could join the Pioneers.
Correct. So actually, many more Pioneers, many Pioneers who are not 60.
Maybe, I want to direct a question perhaps at Mr. Freer, and maybe you'd feel more comfortable answering it. why is it, do you suppose, that that this Office of the Aging is set up as it is? Why do you suppose it isn't a, for instance, a divisional organization? I mean, from what I understand so far, the Office of the Aging doesn't control or administer any state funds. Am I correct when I say that?
No state general funds, except the administrative portion.
Right. But gee, as
that's
far
correct.
As assistance, there's no state assistance that travels through your office.
That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure that I can answer why it hasn't attained divisional status. I think that's an open-ended question. You could kind of give all kinds of reasons why it hasn't. There's a lot of historical background that, of course, Danny's much more familiar with than myself.
Well, again, you know, probably one of the reasons why the idea even became in bill form was, you know, to add a little more emphasis to the importance of a program such as this, and perhaps that by giving it divisional status, it would place a heavier emphasis on it and just give it a little more visibility. And Community and Regional Affairs at the present time is administering funds, mm-hmm. state funds that go to the for the assistance of older persons. So, you know, kind of loosely, that's one of what I thought was one of the good reasons why Community and Regional Affairs seemed like the place for it. And in conversations with the Commissioner of Community and Regional Affairs, it was, if I can be so bold as to say that she wasn't necessarily opposed to this, but she felt that it should be, rather than a divisional status, it would be a section of community services.
Well, if it came to my department, it would be under community services as a section of my office.
Right. And in a conversation with Mr. Plotnick on that, it was his understanding that couldn't take place since due to certain federal requirements, an office such as this would have to be allowed divisional status to continue to qualify for certain federal funding.
The federal statute maintains, in order to provide for the visibility of the aging, that it would not be subverted into another division. For example, it could not be placed under Social Services Division in the Department of Health and Social Services. And the reason, very simply, is that at the national level, aging has more visibility and clout, because in all other states but Alaska, the aging consists of a greater constituency. But parenthetically, I would add that I think Alaska has been more than reasonable and fair in its treatment of its elderly. I would dare say that Alaska perhaps appropriates more per capita for its aging constituency than any of the 50 states. And this is something that each of you should be proud of, and I am.
You know, last year we had a proposal in here for the establishment of a daycare program within the Department of CRA, and then there was an appropriation number of about $1.2 million, I think. And one of the reasons for putting it in CRA was to avoid and get away from the stigma of attaching it to welfare and welfare-related programs, and instead associate it with a community service type of program. And perhaps that's part of the general philosophy here that's running with you know, putting it in CRA.
Well, there's no question, Mr. Chairman, that most of the elderly resent anything having to do with the welfare stigma. There are many elderly who won't even go and get their supplemental Social Security income because they don't want it, and they're entitled to it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what you do there. But, point's well taken. But the law, the federal law, and as long as we still receive the federal money, is such that they maintain that it must be a single planning unit and not be subverted into another division or section. That is my feeling on it.
And at the present time, the Office of the Aging is considered to be a single planning unit.
It's immediately under the Commissioner of Health and Social Services, where it has always been. It's always been under the Commissioner of Health and Social Services. And it's Governor Hammond, or previous governors, who signed that it's a state plan meeting his approval for all things pertaining to the elderly. In fact, this coming year, There are other departments that will have to sign off saying that Title 20, for example, will allocate a number of its section of its monies for the elderly. And if not, we don't get the federal money. And that applies to information and referral. And I dare say further down the road, it'll be the nursing homes. But this is the way it is now.
Last year, there was a bill introduced that would have created a commission on the aging and placed it within the office of the governor. And I remember that there was a, for one reason or another, and I really have to admit I didn't pay all that close attention, but I know there was a lot of problems with it and there was a lot of objections. I wonder if you could, if, wonder if you remember some of the objections, as I'm probably sure you were right in the middle of all that.
Senate Bill 196, introduced by Senator Bradley, is in the Senate Finance Committee at the present time, I think. There were originally 11 sponsors, there are now six. But that bill creates a commission on the aging under the office of the governor. And it was felt that the aging constituency should not be directly under the governor, very basically. But it had a heavy cost factor to it, and it created
Of the creation of the commission. Huh?
The creation of the commission changed the thrust, and it increased the administrative costs of the operation of it, and it was not felt that it was fiscally responsible. Whereas, as I read this bill, that I don't see any financial implications, and if so, I would need to be stated what they are.
Mr. Freeman.
Chairman, I have some questions here. I was going to ask you, and one of them is, before we take any action on this bill, are we going to provide an opportunity for, say, the Pioneers organization to make a pitch before us?
Sure. You know, the truth is, it's quite likely that, since we're going to be leaving about next week, that, you know, the bill probably isn't going to see its way through the legislature this year, but, you know, but if...
He was leaving for work.
If I may continue, Mr. Chairman, the...
Josh is writing it down.
In all due respect to Mr. Plotnick, the objections that I heard from the Pioneers had absolutely nothing to do with the financial implications. I'm not qualified to, I don't remember well enough the arguments that they made to me. One of my friends and constituents, Bob Gore, what's his position in the...
Bob Gore is on the governor's advisory committee for the Pioneer Homes, which there are six other persons on. Bob is the representative from Ketchikan. And he testified on the bill.
Yes. And he had some real strong feelings about this, and I don't remember what the arguments were, but as I recall, they had nothing to do with how much money it was going to cost the state.
Perhaps it was something to do with putting it within the office of the governor?
It had to do with the interrelationship between this approach and the Pioneers, the Pioneers Home, and the rather unique and special position that they occupy in this state. And as I say, I'm not qualified to speak to their objections, but I would certainly, before I took any action on personally, I would certainly love to hear, you know, want to hear from them, because this is what happened last year. Mr. Plotnick heard this bill. They started out with a bill with 11 sponsors, and when they began to hear the complaints, the sponsors began to peel off, because apparently they considered there were some valid, and that's not the deal.
Mr. Gore did mention, and there's a concern of any of those who are familiar with the Pioneers Home, that the state doesn't want federal intrusion into that program or receipt of any federal money, because if so, then the federal government will determine everything about the Pioneers Homes. This was the concern.
And that's quite likely why even in Senator Bradley's bill, or the committee substitute for 196, there's a very specific...
It shall not...
The commission has no powers or duties with respect to the Pioneers Homes and the longevity bonus program. I think that probably quelled some of the fears. Did you have a question?
Yes. Combining it with a stretch. Danny? Yes, ma'am.
On page two, it lists the duties of the office, the division being proposed to be set up. Would you address yourself to which of those duties you now perform in the Office of the Agent? And to your knowledge, what duties are performed by what other agencies or offices? Just go right down them.
Actually, on the 1 through 11, the office is attempting to administer all of these programs, with the exception of number 4, perhaps, which really addresses itself to Representative Ostrowski's comment. But we are, I think, as well as possible under the circumstances, attempting to to administer all of those functions at present. But again, there's nothing in state statutory law anyplace saying that this is or is not or should not be done.
Mr.
Rick,
yes.
Go ahead. Mr. Chair, if you undertook these duties, if they were statutorily mandated, as this bill proposes, would you anticipate that it's going to cost you more? In other words, you're going to have to hire extra staff to do, you're attempting to do it now within the budget that you have from the feds, but if we tell you you must do it, is this going to mean that you have to have more staff?
To respond, no, I don't envision an increase in staff at all.
You think you can do all of these things within the present staff that you have?
Correct.
Paid by the feds?
Correct. Sure.
Including number 4? No, that's the one you said.
Maybe not as thoroughly as could or should be, and the main cost factor there is travel in the state. And most of the money is used up in, would be used up in additional travel. But I think we could at least make an inroad to get an inventory of what the facts really are.
What I would propose is that we submit to you, to the committee, a fiscal note on the bill.
I was getting
it's been requested from CNRA, that's right.
From Community Regional Affairs, but not from us. And if we just follow through with your question, Representative Rudd, we can do that in a matter of days. Get one out and into the committee, and we could probably come back and discuss that.
Yeah, very good. I certainly didn't.
We're not in accordance with number 8. Also, we do not submit a report of the activities of the office to the governor and to the legislature, because there's no mandate to do that.
Does anyone else have any more questions of the gentleman here?
Mr. Chairman, I have one more question.
Go ahead.
You mentioned, Danny, that the present, whatever it is about this is 7 members.
11.
11,
yes.
This one provides for 13.
Correct.
So that's going to cost you some.
That would be an increased cost of the 2 additional persons, one from the House and one from the Senate. Yes.
Now, are the duties of the committee, as they're outlined in this bill, any broader than they are at present?
Not really, no.
You keep saying that.
No, there. The only difficulty is that the committee, like all committees appointed, the difficulty is getting together frequently to do the work that should be done. It's an advisory committee, which is meeting in Anchorage next weekend. And all of these persons are roughly, generally, 60 and over.
Mr. Chairman, what is the rationale for making the committee composed of 13 members rather than 11?
Well, I don't think that there was any appointed by the legislature. Are there now?
There is no person on the committee from the legislative branch of service. No, sir.
Go ahead.
Is your committee at full strength now?
It's 100%, and I may add, everyone attends every meeting. There's never any absences. They keep going morning, noon, and night. For example, when they meet in Anchorage, they want to stay at a particular facility because it has a swimming pool. So they can have physical exercise. It's fantastic.
Mr. Fear, do you see any advantage of at least affording the Office of the Aging divisional status, be it in your department or in another?
Well, I would prefer that number one, that it would be retained in the Department of Health and Social Services, where it's been located since 68-69. And I would, at this point in time, defer comment on divisional status.
Right.
There are a lot of things that have to go into it, and one of the things that I think we have to evaluate rather closely is fiscal net.
Right.
And we've got to find out precisely what we're talking about in cost. And rather than put the comment out saying, yes, I do support, I'll say, allow me to defer.
Right.
And until we get the dollar amount.
Go ahead, Catherine. I was wanting to get, allow me, the commissioner and Eric and Linda to get a chance. We still got over 20 minutes, so if you go ahead, you can ask a question.
Well, I was just concerned about the fiscal note, because we always assume that if you put down duties line by line, it's going to call for more people. And I don't think it necessarily does. It might ask for, if you got two more members who happen to be in the legislature, you might need a little more travel money. But it sounds to me like, from my experience with the Office of Aging and their committee, which is extremely active, that they're already doing everything that's put down here pretty much, and they are very capable people. I know that, you know, they seem to handle their affairs very well, and I'm trying to envision why it necessarily costs a lot more money. I can't see it costing. From what Danny said, and what I agree with, is that they can handle these matters with the personnel they presently have, because they're very dedicated people. And I would be surprised if it cost is very much more. This sounds to me like it's exactly the way to do it.
You know, I feel possibly on top of this that they have, talking to some of the people on the advisory committee, it's things that they wanted to do, but they feel that they had no authority in the past to do it. Is this possibly correct, like looking into some of these places where the senior citizens are living in this, that they have felt sort of without actual statute authority, that it's something they would have liked to do and something that they would have been doing and could have been doing now, but they felt that they had no authority possibly to do it?
This could have been evinced by some of the individuals, yes.
I've talked to a couple of them that moved in.
Just with that, I would be opposed to Part C, those two members from the legislature. They got a good operating system now. For Christ's sake, let's keep even an ex official member, keep them completely out of it.
Go ahead.
You know, the only thing that I can say about ex official, I feel sometimes that maybe having somebody there that actually, you know.
Well, they can bring it in and ask them to come in if they want.
Yeah, or, you know, if they would have maybe put it in the bill, they would be ex official, but have the right to ask two members, you know, from the House or from the Senate, because I think sometimes this might help them explain the legislation and why they were wanting to pass it. This time, instead of a whole committee there, where it would be harder for Danny to bring down the whole committee to.
I see we're not going to agree on that.
Mr. Chairman, that's one of the questions I have here, and I agree with Mr. Olson. I have. And maybe it's unfair, but always when I envision an appointment by the Speaker of the House and then the President of the Senate, to me that's politics. And, you know, I just rather it wouldn't be any breath or suggestion of any political partisanship or anything else involved with these people.
I'm not saying it should be appointed, but I think maybe the committee should have, which they already have, you know, the right, but maybe they could have the funds or something available to them so they didn't feel like they were asking.
I just envision some sort of an advocate that may be able to do some coordinating with the politics that has to be associated with this, whether you like it or not. I mean, there's money involved and there's politics involved, but I don't think that's one of the points that I'll belabor too heavily. Could we ask the CRA people to give us some sort of reaction? If you do have a...
We have been requested, Mr. Chairman, to do a fiscal note and don't have it ready as yet. I think we got the request yesterday afternoon and Lynn came to sort of listen. We will have that as soon as possible, too.
Well, my comments
are, I, you know, as I said before, I can't see where it needs to be a division. Is that a division means a director and a structure that is more expensive? And
more expensive.
more expensive.
Than what?
Than having like an office with a coordinator. Your structure would be a little, but I don't know exactly until we do our fiscal note.
Yeah. Well, that's fair enough. I mean, you know, you can compare the figures. Well, just do you have an official overall reaction or opinion to the idea of switching departments and putting it into your department since you people do administer state funds and perhaps. Well, I won't give you any leading questions. I'd like to, if I could get it out of you, some sort of general reaction to the whole proposition.
Well, we really don't have any stand one way or the other.
You're neutral on it. We're neutral. You don't necessarily see any advantage and you don't see any disadvantage. Yeah. Lisa?
Commissioner, could you give me some examples of divisions in your department?
Yes, we have four divisions. Okay, we have a division of community service, we have a division of rural development, local government, and community planning. Now, in a restructuring that I'm considering within the department, I'm planning on putting community services and rural development into one division. This is in the planning stage right now, because they are so parallel in their activities that we feel, and they work together, that we feel that it should go into one. It would probably be called Community Services Division with a section for rural development and, you know, mm-hmm. that type of thing. And there would be, I think, a streamlining of activities. And then within the four divisions, the administrative services will be handling all the grant writing, all the fundings and things like that. And this has been going on in connection with Community Service Division at this time and works out very well. And Lynn Wagner, my administrative officer, could give a background on that. We feel it's an efficient way and streamlined way to go.
Are there several sections under each of your divisions? You don't, at the present, have sections.
No.
But if this Office on the Aging or a Division of Senior Citizens were put into your department in a way that you would like to see it put in, it would be a section under a division. Is
under administrative
correct?
Services, which is in the, I imagine, if by federal regulation it had to be a separate thing, it would be under the Office of the Commissioner.
Rather than a division again?
I mean, I don't know. I haven't really seen the federal regs to study them, and when they do the fiscal note, we'll work on, you know, all that angle and be more familiar.
Will your fiscal note be drawn up to reflect the administrative setup that you would like to see, even if it's not a division? Or will you draw up several fiscal notes?
My administrative
officer
could answer that if it's all right, Mr. Chairman.
If I may, our fiscal note will be prepared on the bill as it's written, and in addition to that, we will make suggestions on if it was done a different way, a certain amount of savings or additional costs would result.
If I may comment, one of the things we're going to have to do, one of the things that's delayed us in the fiscal note is if the program is transferred from Health and Social Services to us, we would like to take a look at how it is administered currently, what current administration is tied directly to federal requirements and so forth, to examine perhaps how we would change the administration of it, because I think that if it just came over with no strings attached, we undoubtedly would probably make administrative procedural changes which are more in line with the way our department operates as opposed to their department. And I think we have to examine very carefully what restrictions there are, what federal restrictions there are, their current operating procedures and so forth, to be able to compare all these. And this is going to take some time. That's one of the things that's delayed us to this point.
I just have a couple. You know that your department is one of the, I'd say one of the best.
We think it is the best.
I'm not asking about you, but it's very efficient and well organized. And I'm concerned that because of that, we keep putting more and more into it. Where do we come to the point of no return, and when are we going to lose this effectiveness and efficiency in it?
Right now we have 85 people in the department, which is small, And I would imagine that we could absorb more, but, you know, not massive numbers, and keep the efficiency.
You will blow the whistle and
everybody out of the pool.
In talking with the people who did the efficiency study of the department, they felt that for the managerial ability in the department among the directors and all, and the way the department was run, that we could handle quite a bit more. And they, in talking with me, made some suggestions, and I told them, no, thank you. I didn't want those suggestions to go through.
I hope they weren't comparing with some of the other departments, because you would have an awful lot of leeway then. I hate to see you get down to that level. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Lisa?
Commissioner, are there any responsibilities having to do with the aging in your department now?
Yes, there are.
Would you transfer those into this new...
No, there would be a... They would still be under Eric and Community Services and under the RDA for the Older American. The way the structure is now, it's very efficient, and I couldn't see tying into another area because they work with us on those now as it is. If the change should occur, you can always restructure after the fact to see, you know.
But at this time,
things are running very well the way they are.
Yeah, I didn't envision either transferring, like, for instance, the functions of the tax assessor in relation to the old age program. As a casual observer of state government, it just appeared to me that if the director of the old age or the director of senior citizens was right there within a department that did administer several of these functions, it would be a little smoother as far as that particular job was concerned. If it were closer. Anyone have any more questions? I think that I've uncovered several areas of additional homework that I'd have to do to feel comfortable moving the bill out at this time. And thank everybody for showing up. We're adjourned.
Thank you.